Bring you greetings in Christ's name. It's good to be together here again this morning. We were reminded this morning about the need for house parents and Mel's filling in. I'd say 24 years ago, we were kind of in the same condition. And so at that point, the staff and the recruiting and all the people involved was a lot smaller, I'd say. And so it ended up that Joyce and I have moved in. Ben was 2. Now he's, believed, going to be 27 this fall. And so probably around 24, 25 years ago. And we were filling in and going to be there till we found house parents, and that lasted 2 years. So I don't know if that's an encouragement to you or not now. So a blessing to you is I think the Lord will provide. It's a good experience. It's something that has been good on our part. We did four other years at another time too. So the question I have this morning is, how many of you ate cereal this morning before you came? Raise your hand. Okay. I have to pity you, but on your cereal box, next time you sit there and read the information on your cereal box, it says probably something about 8 essential vitamins have been added to your cereal. So the word essential in the dictionary means something about that it's fundamentally important. And so when they advertise the 8 essential vitamins they put into that cereal, they're saying that that's essential to the health of the eater of that cereal. The other definition is something that's absolutely necessary. We know when we go into a certain place that it's expected that we're quiet. And what is that place?
Library.
It is essential that you're quiet if you want to stay there very long, because they will ask you to leave. It's also essential if you want to, have a good vacation, there's at least 2 things that are essential. What might they be? Money. That's right, Juan.
Dependable car.
Dependable car, yeah. That comes in the category of having enough money to buy a dependable car, yeah. What else?
Place to go.
What else?
Weather,
yeah. Especially when you want to go camping. Where's Chris? I was thinking about the 2 of the most essential things for a pleasant vacation are money and time. And so when you're ready to go on vacation and you have things pile up in front of you, all of a sudden, you know how it goes, that need to be done, it's not quite as enjoyable as if you can finish something and you're ready to go. It's time is there and you have it. Well, turn with me to Psalm 100 this morning. Psalm 100 is a very familiar psalm, which there's quite a few psalms that go towards the idea of thanksgiving and praise from the writer. It's directed to God. And so when I look at this word essential, that's what we want to focus on this morning is actually the subject of sermon title, if you're writing down titles, is Prayer is Essential. And then we have points under that, which these are, you could go on all life and mention things that are essential in our walk with God. But prayer is one of those things, and what some of what prayer is outlined in these psalms, and I don't even know how many psalms there would be that would actually just simply direct you to realize the greatness of God, and it lifts him up in our minds when we read about him and what these different writers have thought about God and how they looked at it and looked at him. And I believe that's some of what they're meant to do today. When we read them, you look at this Psalm 100 just for one example. The psalmist says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. And that's what the writer is expressing, is the mercy and judgment of God. And it's a true picture of God. It's a true picture of how he takes care of us and loves us in his mercy. And then we also had some warnings in our Sunday school lesson about the judgment side of God. But let it be known that any proper view of God is going to have these two aspects of God. You can't just live a life focusing on the mercy of God. It could lead you down the wrong path, although it is him. We need to balance, and this is a very proper way of opening up a prayer time of our own personal prayer time, is I will sing of the mercy and judgment of God. Very balanced view of who God is. And he is giving thanks or singing about this God. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I'm sorry, I am in the wrong passage. Well, that fit pretty good anyway. That's Psalm 101. What I want to say is, in Psalm 100, is make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Well, I guess I introduced this psalm that way. That was probably of the Lord. I did not realize I was making a mistake. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, or all ye people. And so, when I look at this, and I think of the prayer being an essential part of our life, as the same view as quietness is essential in a library, and time and money is essential to have a good vacation, and the 8 essential vitamins in the cereal are necessary for a healthy life, according to the manufacturer. The making a joyful noise and praying properly to God is essential for a close walk with God. And so I'd like for us to think about that. When he writes this Psalm 100, he goes on and says, as an instruction, but also as a testimony of this is what he's not only just singing unto God, but his way of life or his view there is, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. And so there's a service there, there's a walk there, there's a work there that I believe is outlined here or suggested as we look at this psalm and we read this over and over again. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. And when I look at this word, he that hath made us, it is not something that you and I have done. It's not any kind of an evolutionary thought in here. Can you sense the writer saying, it is God, and there's no explanation or no other comments about that except that's the fact. And it's not like I think I have to convince you this morning that we have evolved from monkeys or something like that, but I would think it's a benefit for us to look at what the psalmist says in the idea of knowing that God hath made us, not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There's a creation here that God has made, and it's special to him. And this psalmist is praising that fact. We enter in verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth, or his judgment, endureth to all generations. The truth of God's word is very balanced in this short psalm. And so, that's an introduction to our essentials for a closer relationship with God. Prayer is essential in the sense that we are coming to God, and you can turn to Ephesians, Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll look at the last verses there in Hebrews 4, verses that you probably know fairly well. For the scripture this morning, this is what I would like to focus on, that when I think of prayer being essential to a close relationship with God, we want to notice what this says here in chapter 4 of Hebrews, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you look at this, and when I read it anyway, it's very easy to have this idea of standing out and getting a picture of this as a throne stands out pretty tall to me, pretty in focus when I read this. This is something about a throne. And when I think of a close relationship with God, we need to recognize this as the throne of God. And turn over one page probably to chapter 8. The very first verse, it talks about a priest, a high priest here. And verse 1 of chapter 8 says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. And so actually this is a whole other subject here. But if you're like me, Hebrews can get a little confusing. You have to read it kind of slow and not Sunday afternoon on the easy chair, that's for sure. For me, I have to study it. And so when it says here, okay, so chapter 8 starts out, it says, okay, so what we have written, this is actually the sum of it. And so here, from here on, we can read some very important things. Not that the first part isn't important. But he says here, now the things which we have spoken or have written, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So we have an opportunity then, or a suggestion, back in our chapter 4 verses, that we are to come boldly before this throne. And so when I think of our prayers and our relationship, it's necessary to realize, first of all, that we're coming to a king that's a high priest. He sits on a throne. And my mind automatically goes to pictures that you see about Roman kings and all their power and things on their throne, that you would not just walk up. I guess you probably just, I don't know, how would you feel walking into the president's office today if you were allowed to just walk right up the steps and go into his office and open the door? Wouldn't you have some kind of a awe or fear or respect or something to that office? I mean, it would to me. I think I get that same feeling opening the door here at the police station. There's something about the authority and the respect that is due this king. So now, when I think of going to this king and his throne boldly, we are to come boldly. That's not pride or rashness or bullying your way none of that. But the boldness is that we have boldness or confidence in what this priest and king has done for us. We are to have that confidence that when you walk into that room, if you will, with God in your prayer room, then you're coming to the God that has parted the Red Sea. It's the same person on that throne that has parted the Red Sea. He's created a fish to swallow up Jonah. And the stories of the Old Testament can go on and on. That's the same person that we're to come boldly to in our lifetime as we think of our prayer. So prayer is essential. You know, we do know the other side that he shed his blood and was a perfect sacrifice. And by faith in that redemption, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And it's given here to find grace to help in the time of need. And so by faith in this redemptive work that Jesus has done, we come boldly. It's a wonderful sense to me, or a wonderful condition, or maybe the proper way to say it, it's a wonderful state to be in to be saved. The Bible says that we can know that we're saved. And so, but isn't it in our everyday life, in our prayer life, in our struggles, in our things that we go through, we come into our prayer room and we come into this idea of entering the throne room of God in prayer, that isn't that even more wonderful? Not really, but in a natural thinking, I have an access to the same God that has done all these stories in the Old Testament. He is the priest and the king. When you think about coming boldly, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. There is always a king sitting on a throne or attached to a throne. And so let us come boldly as we think of the Old Testament story of Queen Elizabeth and her book that is in the Bible about her coming to the king and her requests. She is the picture of this New Testament verse. And she has fulfilled it back in the Old Testament. But you and I are supposed to have the same confidence in the God that's on this throne today. That's what Hebrews is saying. Do we come boldly with confidence to the throne? Is he the life source? Is it essential? If the 8 ingredients that they put in your cereal is meant to portray the essentials for health, is it in our mind, is it essential that we come to the throne of grace? And I think we all understand that, and we'd all agree that, yes, of course it is. It is essential. It is essential for us to have a close, if we want a close walk with him, that we actually come boldly, not selfishly and not bossy. I'm going to tell God how to run the situation. It's not that. But it's boldly coming to him because we have confidence in what he has done. It's also a beautiful passage or a thought that this king that we're talking about, this high priest, is not someone that doesn't care or doesn't know about our situations. He is a kind of a odd phrase, the way the King James says it here, for we have not an high priest. Two negatives here. I don't know, I'm an English teacher, but we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of an infirmity. It's simply meaning that Christ understands what we're going through. He has been there. He has been tempted in all points as we are. That we can understand. And we should boldly come to him because Jesus understands. He is actually touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And if you have never experienced that closeness with God, I'm suggesting this morning that it's not God's fault. It's not Jesus' fault. It's not the king or the priest that's on this throne's fault. When we experience that closeness, it's because of our boldness of coming and entering into that throne room of God. And it's a blessing to see how God has worked in many things. Joyce might be at home feeling pain and so forth, but we have really seen the blessings of God through this last month. Just amazing. And that is quite encouraging. So prayer is essential for a close relationship with God. We're to come boldly. We sing this song in the homes that we don't sing here. I don't know why we don't sing in the garden. Is that because it's old people ready to die? Is that connected to that song? You know what I mean? In the garden? We don't sing it here. Is it in our books? It's in the inside cover. Well, anyway, that's a perfect picture of a morning. The idea of in the garden alone before, while the dew is still on the roses. I don't know, is that just me? But that's what they always request, that, especially in the homes that we have sang in. They always want to sing that. And I guess I just think, well, that must be apparently not for us. That's for people in that stage. Well, anyway. What does that song, does somebody have it? Which book is it in? I don't have a book up here. It's the Zion's Praises in the inside cover. Okay. Would somebody mind reading it? Do you see it? Is it in there? Go ahead. Can you read it?
Can you read it?
Sure.
You come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falls on my ear. The Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we carry there, not other have ever known. Am I supposed to read all the words?
Sure.
He speaks to the sound of his voice. It's so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave me to be, within my heart is ringing. And then I'll read the...
That's right. That's fine.
Whatever you call it. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go to the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And then he goes into that. And he walks with me and talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And the joy we share is carried there. None other has ever known. So that's a three stanzas of the word.
That's it. So if you get a little bit of the drift there, I get the picture of this person entering and deciding to go for a walk. We need to decide to go into the prayer room, into our prayer closets, whether it's on our sofa or it's in a closet. But we need to decide that. And we get that picture of the closeness that person has with that experience in that garden. And so, is that our experience? I'd like to challenge us. I'm 63. I'm always challenged by prayer thoughts. It doesn't matter who presents it. The youngest person, the oldest person in the audience, sermons, Sunday school lessons, it doesn't matter. But it just always seems like there's a longing to have a more intimate and a more personal time with God. And so I challenge you. It is a blessing that type of that song brings out, I think, very clearly that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, and we will experience that tranquility or answers and comfort, and we'll be communing again with the person that has created all those miracles in the Old Testament. Maybe that meant something to me. I hope it does to you. As you get down on your knees and think about what you're trying to accomplish in prayer, not just our own agenda, but it's in the recognition of who God is, and it's the same person. We're in the throne room of God. And so, Prayer is essential to a close relationship with God. Well, prayer is essential for meaningful worship. I believe that God told us, Jesus told the woman at the well that someday people will worship, not in this place or that mountain, my own words, but they'll worship in spirit and in truth. And so we are in that day. And we're to worship in spirit, which that's more, you can't see my spirit, I can't see yours. And so it's more of a, something that happens from within that's a worship to God, an adoration to God. We worship in spirit in the inner man. And then also the idea of worshiping in truth, according to the truth of God's word and according to the truth that's revealed to us. I believe it's the will of God that we worship on a regular basis. I think all of us would say we went to Sunday church to worship. It's kind of how that's the term we use. Somebody asks us, what did you do yesterday morning? We were at church, and what do you do there? And, well, we worship God. And so I would like to say that prayer is essential to a meaningful time of worship. I believe that the singing and the preaching of God's word and the things that we do as we call worship, worship, I don't think you could ever get to the bottom of what it really means. I mean, the completeness. I hope we can get a little picture of it because it's encouraging to go to church to worship. But I believe if we're going to depend on the song leading, the songs and the preaching to be our completeness of worship for that week, I think we will be very disappointed as we leave church that Sunday morning. I think prayer is essential in preparation. It's one of the avenues, if you will, one of the essential ingredients to a true worship experience. And if you're walking in here, and I know I've been at the stages, different stages of life with children, you can't sit down a half an hour before church and have a worship time at home and prayer time so that you can be prepared to worship here at church. I'm not unrealistic. I understand that. But as we go through life, there's times that we can worship anywhere in prayer. And we can have a communion with God. That is worship. And to depend on the, I have a little problem sometimes with our current events in churches of the dependence on emotional worship service, the beginning of the service being an emotional time, when there's no preparation made in prayer at home, or even a thought of a prayer life throughout the week, and then we come to church and expect this emotional thing to be worship, I think we're going to be left out. We're going to be left out. Prepare our hearts with a prayer time during the week, and we will just be ready for a collective type of worship here on a Sunday morning. But don't think that it's not worshiping as we go through our day. Worship is a prayer is a meaningful ingredient. I shouldn't say meaningful. It's an essential ingredient in meaningful worship. Also, prayer is essential for protection and victory. In Jesus' prayer, one of the guys in Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 1, one of the disciples says, well, teach us to pray. I want to pray like that too, you know. And then he gives this prayer. And some of the words in that prayer is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's just one of the phrases. And so my suggestion here this morning, that prayer is essential for protection and victory. Deliver us from evil. And some of the newer versions say, deliver us from the evil one. And the presence of that in our fight and struggles that we go through in our spirit to fight off that the prayer was, deliver us from evil. And so as Jesus gives that example, I think we should pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from that evil one. Deliver us from that temptation. And we will have victory. We can experience victory. Prayer is essential, I believe, for protection and victory. Just as essential as quiet is in the library, prayer is essential for protection and victory. The last thing I'd like to mention here is that prayer is essential to condition the heart for service for Him. When you read those Psalms, when I read those Psalms, and they're praise psalms and in identifying who God is and the greatness of God and all that He has done for the psalmist, same as for us, then we are conditioning our mind, my mind, to be willing to say yes to God. When we have Him in proper perspective, like the praise psalms put Him in proper perspective, then we will have an attitude of gratitude, we say sometimes, and we'll be ready for a service. It conditions the heart. Prayer conditions the heart for service and work for Him. Identifying God and His goodness, His greatness, His holiness, you can just go on and on, conditions our heart for Him to work in our lives. May we continue to be prayer, people of prayer. It is essential for the Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank You for giving us this opportunity to be together, and we thank You for the instructions about prayer throughout all of the Bible. And just my prayer is that we could be encouraged here this morning and focus on how necessary or essential prayer really is. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a song at this time.
All right, I want to sing that song. That's a good question, why we don't sing it here. I don't know. I've sung that song since I was 5 years old at the old people's home, and I don't know if I ever sing it in a church service. That's, 35 years or something like that. So, I don't know, it's just a tradition, but all traditions are up for modification, I guess, and that's one that we could probably break, so. All right. I come to the